Hey guys, welcome to the Cloud Computing Weekly Podcast, your one stop for news, information, and expert advice around the emerging world of cloud computing. This podcast is brought to you by Cloud Technology Partners in partnership with our host, TechTarget. This is episode 9797. My name's Dave Linthicum. I'm Cloud Computing SME, author, speaker, B-List Geek, and with the firm Cloud Technology Partners. And joining me today is our special guest again, Dana Gardner. How are you doing, Dana?
I'm doing great, Dave. Always a pleasure to be with you.
So what have you been doing since we last talked? What's a typical Dana Gardner week? And I know you have your own firm, InterArbor Solutions. So what are you guys working on these days?
Yeah, doing a lot of chats with customers. That's the best source for me when the world is moving fast. The real world is usually moving at a different pace, and that's the real pace. So it's sort of a reality check time. I've spoken to two or three different customers this week, doing some research, and then also getting ready to do some recorded discussions like this with them, talking about things like cloud and hybrid cloud, security, mobile, Internet of Things, all the hot topics. But it's always interesting to me to go back to the horse's mouth, so to speak, and find out, you know, what makes their agenda important, what's on the top of the agenda, what's the timing, what's the prioritization. It's always interesting to me that that's often different than what we hear in many other channels, including, of course, the vendors.
Yeah, you get a lot of information from vendors and clients, but, you know, people always underestimate what, you know, 411 you can get from, you know, the IBMs of the world and the CAs of the world. And, you know, people that are actually outselling these things. You know, it goes to consumption patterns, how people are leveraging the technology, and also figuring out what's working and what's not. I think the providers and the technology vendors are kind of more apt to providing you with that information than even the end users, because it's hard to admit defeat. What have you found?
Yeah, I think the vendors need to be skating to a hockey puck that's a little further out than perhaps the actual users and enterprises. So the timing is what's often difficult to chart unless you go somewhere between them or both. The vendors need to try to time this to when they can create product and get it into channel, service it, support it. Enterprises are faced with budgets and priorities and line of business unit managers who might have a different idea of what should come next. So it's important to go to both.
Absolutely. And speaking of some important stuff coming this week, we had the AWS VMware announcement, which was not surprising to me. It was surprising to lots of other folks. And in the cloud partnership, this is Blair Hanley Frank. He's with the IDG News Service. The cloud partnership AWS and VMware announced Thursday that makes Amazon's public cloud even more attractive for the enterprises, letting them take the popular virtualization platform with them. In other words, VMware running on the AWS cloud. So is this kind of I give up by press release?
No, I don't think it's I give up. I think it's recognizing the order of things that has been changing rapidly over the past several years. Not surprisingly, VMware tried to do it all. They wanted to be out in front of public cloud and provide their own public cloud services and then use their install base, all of those hypervisors, all those virtualized workloads, and the organization management and security and mobile reach that they also have, and say, wow, we can pull these two together. In fact, we'll try to jumpstart our public cloud through our on-premises installed base. It didn't work out. They weren't able to pull that off. They tried it a variety of ways. What's happened is AWS is way out in front. And what's interesting is number two, a distant but still number two, is Microsoft. And now Microsoft is more important to this equation in terms of what AWS will do and what VMware will do. So it makes sense. It's just a matter of timing. Also, I think we had to wait for the EMC Dell transaction to complete before VMware was able to perhaps go and do this sort of a deal. They'd done a similar deal with IBM. I wouldn't be surprised if they start doing similar deals with other cloud providers, with the probable notable exception of Microsoft.
You don't think there's an exclusive here with AWS with VMware?
I think AWS would like that. I don't think the customers would. So I don't think the stockholders of VMware and Dell would, although Dell is privately held now, still management. No, VMware needs to be as ecumenical as it can, but it also needs to recognize who the leader is in market share in the public cloud. And whether or not VMware is able to get everything they want from AWS remains to be seen. to me so far, this looks like AWS gets the best. VMware is out there selling these products. They're trying to do the integration and make it seamless. AWS gets to sit back and watch the meter go on higher and lock into more VMware installed base and perhaps put in a an advantage over what Microsoft can offer. So I don't think exclusive, but I think it's more a hedge against what Microsoft can do given its extraordinarily large installed base.
So the service, which currently is in technical preview, will be operated and supported by VMware running on the all-purpose built hardware in the AWS data center. This move makes AWS more appealing for VMware customers looking to run applications on a hybrid cloud. Users will be able to manage the public cloud deployments like their on-premise VMware deployments using VMware Center software. So what would be your advice to enterprises that are looking, you know, at this? They maybe have, 60 to 80% of their stuff virtualized using VMware within their data centers, haven't necessarily made the move to the AWS cloud yet. So what does this look like in terms of their managing their application workloads, say 2 years from now, 3 years from now?
I think enterprises and companies of all sizes really need to start thinking in terms of ecosystems when it comes to cloud. And we're starting to see some major players in the delivery space as well as the software and infrastructure space reconfigure themselves. We've seen spin-offs, we've seen mergers, we've seen sort of very exotic types of mergers when it comes to what EMC and Dell did and what HPE has done with Micro Focus. So they're spinning off things that aren't core, and they're reconfiguring and either buying or building things that will fit into this new ecosystem. So if you're a Microsoft shop, you might be thinking along, well, who's Microsoft going to be partnering with, say, converged infrastructure? Because I'm going to want to have some things on premises, and converged infrastructure is really attractive from both the deployment, automation, and cost perspective. I'm going to be creating very efficient, small footprint, low energy data centers for my on-premises or distributed controlled data centers. But who's going to be my preferred cloud provider given what my install base is? Well, I might be thinking that, gee, the ecosystem is Azure, public cloud, Microsoft, on-premises software, and maybe HPE for the converged infrastructure and hyper-converged infrastructure data center. That alignment seems to make sense. I should be thinking about that. Or if I'm a big VMware shop and I've got, as you say, 80% or so virtualized workloads with VMware and I'm managing it through VMware, I might be thinking about a Dell converged infrastructure approach in either AWS or even IBM or whoever the other preferred cloud provider is that AWS comes up with. Well, then there's another ecosystem to consider, which I might be a very open source oriented shop. I might be using Red Hat, Redshift. I might be thinking about OpenStack. Therefore, I might be thinking about a Google, Red Hat, and another third party hardware converged infrastructure provider. It could be HPE, it could be Dell. So that's what I was thinking about. And it's really an extension of the types of decisions that were made years ago about platform. Do I standardize on this platform? Do I make it a mixed bag so that I'm diversified and I have certain workloads or data sets under certain platform standards or others? Now, how do I extend that to the cloud? And how do I pick and choose the right vendors that are going to provide as much service to me as possible, while still considering that diversification? I might not want to go all Microsoft or all open source or all VMware. So it's interesting time to think about the big picture and strategy, align it around an ecosystem, whereas before you may have aligned it around a platform or a standard or an environment like Java or Windows or .NET. It's just an extension and or abstraction higher now into a cloud ecosystem.
So do you think this is a kind of a competitive play where AWS will eventually start courting the VMware workloads off of the VMware ecosystem that exists on AWS cloud? Because if you think about it, they're already there. They've made the move. It's an easy transition, that now that VMware is a partner and AWS can perhaps start grabbing that you know, grabbing those workloads to make them kind of AWS native. So you're really, if enterprises are migrating to the cloud these days, they're thinking about creating cloud native versions of their on AWS or Microsoft or Google or whatever, IBM, whatever platforms that you think are going to be best. And what we're doing here is, in essence, providing kind of an abstraction layer so we can maintain legacy workloads that operate on the AWS cloud. And wouldn't AWS make the case that it's probably better that you remove VMware and run directly on their cloud providers, in essence, coaxing the workloads, you know, via the allure of having a VMware platform analog that runs on AWS, but eventually moving them off that platform? What do you think?
I don't think that's necessarily the right way to go. I think that AWS is in the timeshare business, right? They're going to stop and start a watch, and they're going to charge you for the amount of time and resources you used, whether you're running VMware software or open source software or AWS software. So I don't know why they would insist or even try to game it a little bit towards their native, as long as they're getting the cha-ching, cha-ching for the amount of workload capacity and the data. So I think their business model is what you need to look at. Before, not that long ago, yeah, the idea was to go native because you could lock them into maintenance and support. You could lock them into upgrades. You could, you know, turn off support for one version of software and know that you're going to get a large percentage of people automatically updating. It's a different economic model in the public cloud. The more that they get in that cloud and the more that they can satisfy the needs and make that hybrid cloud model work, where you can have fungibility between on-premises and public cloud providers, maybe even multiple ones, it's going to become more of a cost equation. And the cost is going to be about how good of support and performance, reliability, and security I can get for X number of dollars. So I don't know that it makes sense for AWS to follow that same trajectory of forcing people into a native environment to lock them in. I think they'll lock them in economically by having the best public cloud support for whatever software the enterprises want to put in there.
So is this a poke in the eye for IBM? IBM, when asked about the relationship, they shot back with IBM Cloud was first to market with VMware, with 1,000 clients already using this partnership, and it's clear whom they prefer. They said in an email, but ultimately, this becomes a competitor and really kind of another pain point for IBM, which is, best we can tell, is third place in the market. And ultimately, they're vying for the survivability of their public cloud strategy and their public cloud platform. And this is really something that's going to start pulling clients away from them, don't you think?
I think this increases the cadence of the ticking time bomb that IBM is sitting on, yes. The idea that IBM is going to compete in the public cloud on performance, cost, reliability is not likely. AWS and Azure are going to really rock and roll in that regard and compete with each other, driving the price down, keeping the performance up. At the same time, IBM is seeing its revenues from its traditional software businesses go down. So, you know, time is not necessarily on IBM's side in this. They can't compete with AWS, and they can't really compete with the old model either. So this is sort of a hybrid play-as-you-go. The big thing that IBM is doing, however, is placing some very big bets on machine learning, artificial intelligence, learning a lot about the tribal knowledge within certain vertical industries, so that even though their public cloud or their software might not be differentiators, their understanding and their data access into a vertical industry and market and the ability to create data and intelligence services around that, that seems to be the business model they're going to, but that's not a $100 billion a year business.
Right. So 5 years from now, where are we at? What are the big competitors? We still have four major players. We're still going to go down two major players. And where does VMware going to stand, especially as the data center, you know, kind of doesn't shut its doors, but it starts to reduce its importance within the enterprises and probably becomes more important within the service providers. But to your point, I think there's going to be huge, you know, titanic shifts that occur in the next 5 years. Workload where we run them is going to change, you know, how we deal with security and governance, things like that. But how is it going to affect the major players in the space? The enterprise players seem to be the ones that are going to lose the most, correct?
The enterprise vendors or the enterprises themselves?
Enterprise software providers, and yeah. I include VMware with that, and EMC and Oracle and IBM and HP you know, a number of the larger players that are really been around for, you know, 30, 40 years have a huge impact imprint inside the enterprises, but the enterprises seem to be moving workloads in different directions.
Yes. Well, I go back to that model of thinking of it as an ecosystem abstraction. So you're going to see alignment and you're going to see partnerships and maybe even acquisitions that bolster a full public cloud PaaS data services, maybe with some infrastructure that is updated in advance for on-premises use. But the combination really is going to be what cloud provider and intelligence and APIs and services that are value adds on top of the baseline infrastructure services line up around what the major enterprise needs are, and leveraging the platform differentiation that we've seen from the past 20 years and how that transitions to the cloud. So you could very likely see a Google, Red Hat, open source, maybe lining up with a hardware partner or two. You could see, again, AWS with perhaps VMware and a Dell alignment, although I wouldn't say exclusive, but maybe just as a good way of making this transition from that high install base and all those virtual machines and hypervisors. And also, let's not discount containerization as well. So both VMware and Microsoft are hot and heavy into moving towards containers or microservices rather than full operating system-based workloads. So that could be very disruptive. It's hard to say 5 years out who's going to be dominant or standing, but clearly the model is going to be basing your future on the public cloud and then reverse engineering from that, rather than, say, from what your standard for your on-premises installed base server infrastructure and data center infrastructure is, and then advancing that out, you know? So the direction is sort of shifting right about now. We're getting at the point where I'll make a decision as an architect and as a strategist based on what my public cloud strategy is going to be, and then reverse engineer from that, rather than thinking about how do I take what I've got on-prem now and extend that. That's the sort of transition I think we're going to see in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. And ultimately, I think it's going to be devastating, I think, for the larger players out there. But I do think that a few of them that are going to be more innovative and creative, and IBM may be one of them. It could be Oracle. It could be, you know, somebody we haven't thought about yet, are really going to basically leverage niche technologies to differentiate their solution and really kind of drive further into the business. But I just haven't seen that today among any of these guys. And I think that, you know, these sorts of partnerships, and I think we'll see more with IBM, and I think we'll see more with Google and Microsoft, you know, where the big iron guys, the Oracles and the HPs and all those sorts of things really kind of form alliances, which makes, you know, AWS more interesting because they have a firm foothold into the existing on-premise systems, which really make things more comfortable for the CIOs out there that have these pre-existing relationships with VMware and IBM and HP, things like that. But I also see really these traditional enterprises finally getting their cloud act together and perhaps, you know, leveraging AWS as a bouncing off point to make that happen. And it'll be interesting to see who's going to basically make those moves the fastest, the best, and the more innovative. So when are they going to run out, when are they going to run out of runway, Dana?
When are they going to run out of runway? Well, if they're smart and they're publicly traded companies, they're not just going to run out of runway and, you know, close the doors and turn off the lights and close shop. They're going to transition. But they're going to transition from being a $30, $50, $70 billion a year company to maybe a $5, $10, or $15 billion a year company. And they might not have 35 or 40% margins. They might have 7, 10, or 12% margins. And they're going to add value on top of what public cloud services are available, because those are going to become commoditized. And, you know, that's going to be a very interesting fight is between Microsoft and Amazon, literally, you know, 10 or 15 miles apart in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, duking it out. And they could very well get into a price war that drives down the cost of public cloud services, commodity services, to the point where the real margins are on top of that. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Let Amazon and Microsoft all that clock speed, build out those $1 billion worth of data centers around the world, pay for all that network bandwidth, They're saddled with all that complexity, and with making the security work, I'm going to sit back and say, wow, how can I innovate on top of that? Providing intelligence services, knowing markets better, being integrating between a public and private sector cloud environment, for example. So the integration and the modeling of new data services and artificial intelligence services, that might be where the new action is. It could be a higher margin business, but it could be a very good business. So that's the transition companies are going to have to think about, rather than trying to be $100 billion businesses with a 5% margin if you're an old standard hardware configuration organization, or you go more towards higher end services around what companies are looking for to do their jobs, to be differentiators in their own markets, and focus more on where the intelligence is. So IBM could very well be ahead of the game on that if that works out, if their stock holders don't give up on them.
So Microsoft versus AWS, so you got to say it. Is that the battle in Seattle?
Yes, it's the battle in Seattle.
Are we the first to say that, or the 20th?
We might be. It's not the thriller in Manila. It's battle in Seattle. You're right.
So the thing is, when you look at the cloud, and I've positioned my career around the cloud for the last 10 years, but really the patterns of IT, the compute storage, patterns of computing, are consistent with what we've done in enterprises for years. The consumption is different, and the security models are different, but not necessarily creative and innovative and kind of, into a new space. So I think I hear you. I think that ultimately the organizations that are able to be in some innovative space and create the space, and we have, machine learning out there now, these things have been around for years and we're kind of reinventing them to a new world. Big data, IoT, all the buzzwords that are out there, utilization of blockchain, all these sorts of things. So do you think it's going to be the commoditization of the public cloud providers and really along with the commoditization of the enterprise cloud, software and hardware providers? And then ultimately, it's going to be these high value things which really kind of take over the market because it's easy to buy compute, storage, things like that. We get really good at selling and consuming it. You can get those things from any number of vendors, and the prices are going to be very low and competitive. But these higher end kind of strategic systems, seem to me where the focus is going to be in the future, once we kind of get cloud right, move infrastructure, move workloads. But even though that's hard, once we do it, it's kind of done. And moving into new strategic areas that are able to benefit the business, machine learning-based systems for healthcare, for example, things like that, become game changers where IT is really kind of changing their view in the world and changing the competitive nature of their business. And really, their business focuses around IT. I mean, am I being too pessimistic? Am I being too optimistic?
No, I think you're just identifying that what we've seen in IT for the past 30 or 40 years is really an anomaly and not the status quo that we're going to expect. And that if we look back at other evolutions of business in history, we've seen similar periods. And we're moving from this period where vast fortunes were made and rapid turnover to support technologies, whether it was Moore's Law or Metcalfe's Law, or bringing new types of speed and feed benefits to the masses that at an affordable rate, that is going to play itself out. We're seeing that just about, we're in like the eighth inning of that now. But the apps that have run riding on top of that are where the real value is. That's always been the case, but we've had to pay and play a lot to keep those apps supported. Well, now we don't have to worry about the apps being supported. No one's worried about clock speeds anymore or running out of disk space. It's just a cost-benefit analysis of how you go about doing that. And it depends a little bit on your vertical industry and your geographic location and your compliance, regulatory, and security concerns. But once you've mitigated that, or you've created an algorithm that will do it automatically for you, that's a bot, I call it bot ops, it's the next thing, let the AI figure out what data center at what cost and what clock speed, what plan out of 850 different plans that Amazon might come up with is right for you. That allows you to then say, what's the apps and what's the services that we want to bring to our customers? How do we make a dollar or a pound or a euro? How do we figure out how to add value now that we've got IT, in a sense, out of the picture? It's behind the scenes. It's automated. So I think you're right. What we're starting to see is what we've had in sort of a muted form, which is the action is at the app level, at the services level, and of doing innovation across different levels of higher order process benefits, like artificial intelligence, like big data and analytics, like being able to anticipate someone's needs and be proactive in terms of suggesting their next business decision or buying decision or purchasing or supply chain decision process. So automation and efficiency and productivity. You know, one of the big stories that's going on now in the world is how the hell do we get productivity to increase when we're faced with a secular stagnation environment? Now, you can argue about why we have secular stagnation, but a lot of it seems to be that people are just a little bit older. We've had a baby boom bubble that's come and gone, and housing bubbles that have come and gone, and we've had these great changes in our economies and our technologies. So we're not going to be growing at 20-30%. We're going to be growing at 2-3%. But how do you then still get productivity so that the quality of life continues and that we can rise all boats with the tide? That's the big problem that's facing companies, countries, and economies. So, you know, that's where the action should be, thinking about what, as a business, you can do to be hyper-productive, because that's what it's going to take in a secular stagnation environment to make a difference.
Absolutely. Can't disagree with that. So anyway, please pick up a copy of my book, Cloud Computing and SOA Convergence, which you can find in softback on Amazon, as well as the Kindle. Please read my blog on InfoWorld, and don't forget to go to www.cloudtv.com for current cloud news, links to this podcast, and more ways to contact us directly. Twitter, I'm at David Linthicum, LINTHICUM. What's your Twitter, Dana?
Yep, it's Dana underscore Gardner on Twitter, and listen to my podcast on Briefings Direct and my blog as well. We talk to a lot of users and try to tease out the trajectory of how these trends are going to play out.
And look Dana up. As you can tell, he's probably one of the most profound thought leaders in the business today. Fall edition of the Doppler Quarterly will be shipping in November. Enjoy 80-plus pages of top cloud news and best practices delivered to your door for free. If you're not already on the mailing list, go visit cloudtp.com/Doppler to sign up. Also, please make sure to support our host, TechTarget. Make sure to read my content there, as well as some great research, reporting, and events. Go to searchcloudcomputing.techtarget.com. So until next time, best of luck in building your cloud computing solutions. We'll be back next week. You guys take good care.